Welcome to the next episode of Microsoft Dev Radio. I'm Jerry Nixon, and I'm here with Mark Williams, Program Manager of the Intune Group. Mark, thanks for being on the show today.
Hey, no problem. Thanks for having me along, Jerry.
Mark, I'm excited to talk about enterprises and deploying Windows 8 apps. It's really exciting. Before we do that, though, tell us kind of who you are.
Again, thanks for having me on here. I'm a manager in the Windows Intune team. I've been here for actually quite some time. We released Windows Intune, it was about 18 months ago, MMS 2011, but I've been on the team for just coming up to 5 years. So that tells you that we worked on this for quite a while before we released Windows Intune itself. I've actually been at Microsoft now for about 15 years. I started as a technical account manager, application development consultant, and so on over in Premier Support. And then in 2003, moved over to Microsoft TV for 3 years. And then, that was 2000. And then 2003, moved on to group policy. And interestingly, since then, so almost 9 years, my role has just evolved and iterated through a series of changes to where I am today. And that's, as I say, a program manager on the Windows Intune team.
Cool. Microsoft TV, boy, man, that's, you got to really go back. Remember
memories,
that.
Indeed.
Oh, yeah. It was cool, but, you know, like so many things, way ahead of its time.
Of course. That's a good way of putting it, yeah.
Yeah, it really was. Okay, so Intune. Intune is a product. Typically, I think our IT pros know what Intune is. Intune certainly isn't a new product to Microsoft. Give us a little bit of the background of Intune.
Yeah, sure. Well, one way to describe that is in terms of the releases we've had with Windows Intune. We released back in, I think it was March of 2011. And unlike, you know, previous projects I've worked on where we ship every 2 or 3 years, big operating system releases and so on, with Windows Intune, we typically ship roughly every 6 months or so. So we're currently in our third release, and upcoming, the thing we're going to talk about today is our next release. One way to kind of frame Windows Intune is to think about what we've shipped over those three releases. So maybe I could just spend a couple of minutes describing what we shipped in each release, and hopefully that'll give you a flavor of where we are today.
Yeah, you bet. Please do.
So the first release... it's actually interesting because when I joined the company all those years ago, everything was about locking down the desktop. It was all about the IT pro wanted to give capabilities to the end user, but it was all about the absolute minimum they can get away with. And I spent most of my day talking to customers about tweaking IE or whatever it might be to get the absolute minimum amount of functionality down to the user. Since then, that's obviously still very important to some customers, but the whole issue of consumerization has really come to the fore, and it's kind of flipped the bit a bit in the sense that now end users are walking in with their own devices and fully expecting to use them in the corporate environment.
Definitely not expecting for you to lock it down.
That's the very last thing they want.
Yeah. Okay.
But the other pressure point, of course, is the IT pro and the organization wants their environment to be fully secure. Mm-hmm. So those two paradoxes actually show up in the history of Windows Intune. When we first shipped, the very first version was about managing the desktop for the most part. When I say the desktop, I'm also talking about laptops that might be out on the road. It's a web-based service, and one of its key advantages, of course, is that if you install the Windows Intune agent, then all the machine needs to be able to keep up to date with updates, anti-malware, and pass inventory back and forth for the IT pro is a single agent installation, the Windows Intune agent, if you will. And with that internet connection that virtually every PC or laptop has got these days, that information flows back to the service, and through a separate administrative console, which I'll show you a little later, the IT pro can fully manage those machines. Now, the key point there is management in the sense that we're really overlooking the integrity of the machine, making sure it's up to date with the latest updates, making sure it's got signatures, antivirus signatures. And that was really what version one was all about, making sure that the IT pro felt secure, that their machines were secure. The second version introduced software distribution. This starts to get into some of the things we're talking about today. And in particular, and of interest, was that this was IT pros pushing out mandatory software. Mm-hmm. So, and I worked on software distribution in the second version, and it was about the IT pro saying, I want this piece of software on these particular groups of machines. But it's still very much an IT pro-centric mentality. The third version, which is where we are today and which is shipping right now, was the first one to introduce something that the end user could really start deploying. And it was a web-based service called it's now called the Company Portal website. And through that, an end user can go to this website and see software that the IT pro has optionally made available for installation. So that end user can then just look at a catalog of software, choose the one he or she wants, download it, install it to their device, whether it's a personal device or otherwise. And then in the version we're working on, and what I'll be showing you a little later on today, is the Windows 8 aspect to that. Windows 8 is clearly, we're just a few days away from launch at this point, and Windows 8 is a big focus for us, and I'll be going through the company portal app, and I'll get into the details of that once we get there.
And we talk about IT pros, we talk about these features that are fundamental to enterprises, but Intune has really served enterprises all the way back to small businesses from its birth, really, right? It's really just served the full spectrum.
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, the first version, we were certainly thinking about small and medium-sized businesses about there as a key target. It's kind of analogous and interesting in the sense that a number of people on our team used to work on WSUS. And when we first shipped WSUS, I think there was this sense it was a very straightforward, simple service that allowed you to manage updates and make sure those are pushed out after approval and so on.
But WSUS, just in case there's a developer watching, that's Windows Update internally, right? Allowing you to push out information to all of your desktops.
Yes.
Not information, but software updates to all of your...
Yeah, updates that are published by Microsoft, they come through to your WSUS service. And then
you
can
vet them.
As an IT pro, you might want to test them first, and then you kind of approve them out to the full audience. And that is a good example of where something which was developed for a very particular purpose, and probably initially for small and medium-sized businesses, got a lot of interest from enterprises because it did the job really well. And I think we're seeing some of that with Windows Intune. And what you'll see over time, more and more, and we're taking the first steps in the next version, is a closer and tighter integration with System Center. And I'll describe some of that as we go on.
Nice. And the more integration you have with System Center is just showing the road more and more of a focus towards serving enterprise clients as well.
Oh, we've heard that loud and clear. When we've demoed and obviously released Windows Intune a number of levels, we've showed this at TechEd and MMS and the like, and System Center customers have come up to us in waves and said, you know, we'd really like to see access to these kind of capabilities, in particular the cloud aspect, the fact that this is available to machines which are rarely connected to the corporate environment. They want to see part of that, but they want to manage from Configuration Manager. So we'll talk about
that. It's quite an accomplishment if you think about it. I mean, all the way back to the mom and pop shop that have enjoyed Intune to be able to manage the handful of devices they have, all the way scaling up, it's pretty broad.
Well, from the get-go, we did scale was very important to us, but I was actually chatting to someone yesterday about it's interesting we ship every 6 months. That gives us a tremendous amount of agility. Mm-hmm. And if you think about the first version I just described, it was about managing the desktop, laptop, whatever it might be. It was about the IT pro perspective to protect their environment. And in 18 short months now, there's this huge wave of interest around bring your own device or consumerization. And in that time, we've really been able to embrace that. And the next version really focuses on that pretty heavily. And it's just still in the space of six. So every 6 months, we can look at this and see where the industry is asking us to go. And it's actually been a pretty fun ride.
So we've got the portal. It's a web-based portal, so it's like an intranet site you might go to. That's where you could deliver applications that you want users to have on their desktop. They can deliver what? They can deliver a desktop, a regular x86 desktop application, like a .NET app. What else can they deliver through that, just the web portal that we already have today?
Okay. So the web portal today, and I just want to clarify the distinction between the I'm going to call them the company portal website and the company portal app. Okay,
perfect.
The company portal website supports Vista, Windows 7, and XP, and does support the installation of x86 and MSIs. Okay, what I'm going to show you later on is an app that is downloadable from the Windows Store, the company portal app, and that will also support distribution of Windows Store apps to Windows RT and/or Windows 8 Pro and Enterprise as well, in addition to executables. The executables and the MSIs, EXE and MSIs, you'll be able to install those to x86 Windows 8 boxes running Pro or Enterprise.
Got it. Okay. Well, I'm kind of excited to see what we have for Windows 8 users now and the portal that we have for them. So let's see what we have.
All right. So what I want to do, I thought it might be a lot of the demonstrations and episodes you've had in the past, I'm sure, are focused on very dev-centric topics in the nuts and bolts of using Visual Studio.
You're in Visual Studio at the comfort zone.
Well, for a while, just for a few seconds here. I'm going to start here. This is an app that probably as few of you have seen. I got nothing more than a demo app here. This is the Windows Blogger demo app. I'm going to start in here, and all I'm going to do here is I'm just going to create the app package, which I'll show very quickly because I think most of your viewers will notice already. So I'm going to come in here, right-click the project, and go to store, and then I'll start describing some of the concepts you need to be aware of to get this pushed out through Windows Intune. In fact, let me stop there just to set the stage here for what we're doing here. You develop your Windows 8 app, whether it's for Windows RT, whether it's for Pro, Enterprise, x86, whatever it might be. You've now got to get that pushed out in some way.
And I haven't developed it for the world. I've developed it for my company, right?
Yeah, that's exactly where I was going. If you got something you're going to sell to the masses, clearly, unambiguously, the Windows Store is the way to go. But this discussion is really focused around line of business apps. And in that regard, obviously, you're probably not particularly inclined to throw it up on the Windows Store. So in that context, the question is, how do you get it out to your end users? There's actually a number of ways you can do this. One is you can embed it in the image. If you're building an image, a Windows 8 image, you can actually embed a Windows 8 application in there.
It's already installed that way. Not much to figure out that way.
Not a lot to figure out there. Just hand it off and someone will make sure it appears in the image. Mm-hmm. Another way is scripting. When you produce a package, as I'll show you in a second, you're actually going to get a PowerShell app that you can then script, push out, and find a way to make sure that is invoked on the machines you want to install the app on.
And in that way, it's very similar to the way we deliver software today to the desktop, just the PowerShell executable.
In many ways, it's just an executable, and providing you have the infrastructure to deploy that, that's great. But let's come back again to one of the reasons that Windows Intune has resonated with customers. It's in many situations where a user or a machine is off the corporate network. They don't have access to a deployment site or a share or whatever it might be, but they still want to get access to the software. That is a good example where Windows Intune can help. In a way I'll show you in a second, we're going to allow you to publish this software up to your company portal. And then the user is going to run the company portal app, see the software, and download it and install it. So
perfect.
Shall I just move into that?
Yeah, let's see it. I can't wait.
All right. So this hopefully is very well known to most of your viewers here. This option here is where we choose no. We're going to build a package that is not going to go to the Windows Store. Again, I think most of your viewers are familiar with sideloading and the concept of sideloading. Do you want me to go into a little detail on that, or are you good with that, Jerry?
No, I'm with it, yeah. Sideloading is installing a Windows 8 app not through the store.
Right. And I'm assuming most people have a good idea of what needs to be done to prepare a device so that you can sideload. But this link here is a useful one. It'll describe across Windows RT and Pro and Enterprise exactly what you need to make sure your devices are ready to support sideloading. So I won't go into the detail on that right now. I'll click on this, I'll just select next. I'm going to build my app. And after I've done that, I get a handy little link here to the package itself. Okay, so everything so far is hopefully very familiar. And I've now clicked on the link and I have my apex file here. So I could use PowerShell. And in fact, we will produce a PowerShell script for you right here as part of the build. If that's the way you want to go, then you've taken a long way towards that because we produced the PowerShell script for you. In this regard, though, what I'm going to do is I'm going to just freeze. I'm just going to copy this to the clipboard, and that is the name of the apex file here. And then what I'm going to do, and again, let me set the stage. I've now been the developer. I'm now going to switch personas. I'm now going to be the IT pro.
Oh, I'm sorry, Mark.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, I'm sorry you have to be the IT pro. This is the dev radio.
I'm sorry. Shall I just stop and go?
Yeah.
Someone's got to do it, right? So this is the administrative console. I actually worked on this in the first two releases. I was involved with the whole navigation and update management scheme. Just very quickly, I don't want to bore developers with what the IT pro would see here, but the scope of Windows Intune includes group management for users and groups, you can see here, and update management. So the approval of updates, similar to what I mentioned earlier on with WSUS. Endpoint protection is about anti-malware support. Alerts that might get funneled up from your managed machines, you can see those. Software, we're obviously going to come back here. There's some license management functionality, policy, akin but not identical to group policy, reporting, and then there's administration. Nice. Before I get into pushing this up to the service, I want to quickly do a little detour here and mention something under administration here. Under administration, you'll see this node here, mobile device management setup. Under Windows RT, there is the ability to manage your sideloading keys through Windows Intune. So if I go in here, in fact, there's a little more than that. You can also upload code signing certificates and add sideloading keys right here. So that is a capability you have from the Windows Intune Administrative Console. And in the next release, the SCCM Administrative Console will also have the ability to manage sideloading keys for Windows RT. Okay.
Nice.
So that
but this is great. Some of this stuff are some of those preliminary steps you have to do to get sideloading to work in the first place. Here you can do a lot of it centrally.
Yeah. You just upload the keys, and then your Windows RT devices will just take those from the pool as they need them.
Nice.
Okay, back to software. So I'm going to go into the software tab here, and I'm going to go into manage software. And you can see here that I've got a number of pieces of software I've already uploaded to the service, and I'm going to go ahead and upload the one we just built, the blog reader.
Okay.
So I'm going to do, and again, just to set the stage yet again, I'm going to take this as an IT pro, take the package provided to me by my developer, and I'm going to upload that to the service, and then I'm going to target it at a group of users, which is then made optionally available for them to install.
Okay.
So adding software here, we kind of cross the security boundary here. Can you just log
Very
on?
Very nice.
You just log on.
And so I'm the IT pro or the network administrator. I've just received a zip file with all of the files that the developer just created with their app package.
Yeah, the beauty of this, actually, one nice thing about this, you get one file, not a zip file. You just get one file, the appx file. And all the logic is built in there. You're getting the benefit.
Oh, I get a command shell, and I'll just forget all that. I only care about the appx.
Appx is all you really care about. A couple of qualifiers on that, but for the most part, that's generally just the one file you need.
Yep.
By the way, I'm assuming, hopefully this is... most people will pick this up already. I've signed the application with an enterprise certificate. So when it gets to the other end, when it gets to my end user device, the assumption is that end user device has the appropriate enterprise certificate on there so they can match it with the signed application.
And that might be delayed signed by the administrator as well, right? One way or the other, it's going to be signed.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay.
So now I'm in the part of the application which allows me to upload service to the Windows Intune service itself. Without going too much into this, there's actually a couple of different options here. The one we're going to focus on here is software installation, and I'll show you that in a second. As an aside, you can also point to external links. So a good example of this is if you see an application as an IT pro, you think there's an application in the Windows Store that your users might be interested in, you can take the URL to that Windows Store and you can publish it. It's kind of like a recommendation. And then I'll show you an example of that actually once
we get. Can you also point to apps that are not necessarily in the Windows Store, like something that's desktop related?
Yeah, you can point to Google Play. You can point to iTunes for iOS applications.
And that's because Intune doesn't just manage Windows devices. It manages everything.
That's correct. In fact, let me come back to this first option here. We have software installer here. I'm going to focus on Windows 8. Applications here, obviously, but if I drop this down, you'll see that we can publish executables or MSIs. We can also publish for Android APK files, iOS files, IPA files, or Windows Phone 8 applications. So those are all available from Windows Intune Administrative Console for me to upload to the service and then target at users in a way I'll show you in a second.
It's quite a spectrum of devices, no doubt.
It is. And again, this comes back to if you think where we were when we released, the idea of all these things being available, lots of mobile device support here, consumerization, is quite an evolution of where we were when we first shipped Windows Intune. Now, if I go into the final option here, we have an appx option. I'm going to select here, and I'm going to do control. Oh, no, I'm not. I'm going to do browse. Hopefully, control V will bring that in. There we go. So it's another nice thing about a Windows Store app, of course, it's very small. This is only 70K. I'm going to skip to the next part of the wizard here. I'm going to give it a name, so let's go back to good old Contoso is the name of the publisher. I'm going to change something here just so you can see it as it comes through to the end user. I'm just going to call this blog reader 1.0.
You're just making it friendly is all?
Yeah, that's all I'm doing here. And I, you know, type in version 1.0, blah, blah, blah in there.
Blah, blah,
blah. And then I can categorize it, and you'll see where this comes out for the end user in a second. I'm going to say this is to do with blogging, so we'll put this under collaboration and social.
If I
wanted to, I won't do this right now, but I could also put an icon on there so that would show up in the company portal application itself.
Nice.
I'm going to go next. Get a confirmation screen. I can just make sure everything's good here. You'll see the architectures here show up. So that's all good. It's pulled that in from the appx file itself. And now I'm going to upload. Now when I upload here, what I'm doing at this point is we're encrypting it, we're compressing it, we're uploading it. That's going back to the service. It's stored in Azure. So that's going to go back there and get stored in Azure. At this point, I haven't told it to go anywhere. No users can see this software. So in a second, this progress bar, he says, twiddling his thumbs a little bit here, his progress bar is going to move along, and the application is going to be uploaded to the service.
And you said it's stored in Azure, and just as a reminder to whoever might be watching this, that's because Intune is a cloud-based solution.
Yeah, exactly. We fully leveraged it for the storing of the applications that are uploaded by customers using Windows Intune.
Nobody installs Intune, right? I mean, it's not a server product.
It's not a server product. Elsewhere in this user experience here, there is an executable you can download, which is the agent that you can then install on your managed PCs.
Right.
As an aside, I don't want to go off on a rat hole here, but in the first two versions, it was primarily about the IT Pro taking that agent enrollment package and pushing it out to machines typically they owned. So the IT Pro was deciding whether a machine needed to be managed by Windows Intune. With everything I just mentioned about consumerization, in the company portal app, it's possible for me to self-enroll as an end user my own device so that I can access applications that my corporation is making available to me.
Okay. Nice. And then there's probably lots of methods for me to authenticate into that so I can
get what I'm supposed to get. You'll use an organizational ID to make sure it's a nice, secure channel.
Nice.
Okay, so I'm at the end of it here. I got confirmation. I'm going to do close. Just refresh the page here. And now you'll see my Blogger software show up here, right here. And it's got Contoso, it's got the name of it, and so on. This is a key column here. This is not yet deployed. So all I've done is uploaded it at this point.
Right.
What I can now do is I can manage the deployment, which means I'm going to go in and choose the users to which this should be targeted. So I'm going to, in this case, take the Seattle user. I'm sat here in sunny Seattle today, and I'm going to add all my Seattle users here, do next, and then choose the type of deployment I want. And I'm going to choose to make it an available install. So it's going to be a made available, but it's certainly not mandatory for these users.
I see. So it shows up on a list, and they get to pick from it that way.
Who, the IT Pro or the end user? What?
The end user would. Now it's available for the end user to install.
I'll get to that in a second. At this point, all I'm doing as an IT Pro is I'm just saying the end user has the ability to install this if they choose to do so.
Got it.
What I'm going to do now is I'm going to close that. That dialogue, you'll see that it says deployed now. Now I'm going to go to the third persona. Now I'm the end user, okay? And I think this starts to answer your question. Mm-hmm. I'm now going to I go to the Windows Store, and I'm going to download, install an application called the Company Portal. That will be available in the store a little later. And when you get there and you run that and you enroll a machine, you will get this interface, which hopefully looks broadly familiar in the sense that it's very much a Windows Store designed app. It's very clean.
Is, yeah.
It's very simple. That's all by design. We don't have a ton of options all over the place here. The target audience here is the end user. They just want to get the job done. A couple of areas of functionality to point out here. Over here, we got some contact information. So this allows the IT Pro to publish general contact information for the support team. This link here will launch a site to go to the support site as appropriate. You can see I've enrolled one device here. You can have more devices show up here, which may be, they might be enterprise or pro devices, might be Windows RT, it might be an Android device, it might be an iPhone, whatever it might be. Your device.
And these were devices associated to a single user ID.
That's exactly right. I'm running as a single end user at this point, and anything enrolled and associated with my account, either by the IT Pro or more likely by me as an end user, will show up here.
Wait, let me stop you just for a second. I can't help but wonder, how did you get this app, though?
I went to the Windows Store. Went to the Windows Store. It's not available there yet, but it will be soon. And once it's available there, you can just find it, download it. You can install it, and then when you run it, you'll be prompted for credentials that are your organizational credentials. Once you have those credentials entered, then we know exactly who you are. So the credentials I entered with here equate to Contoso, for instance. And then the type of apps we're going to show you here are those that have been made available to you by the IT Pro at Contoso.
Okay. Let me ask you a question. What if I work for two companies?
You would just use two different IDs. We've not done anything to federate those two together at the moment.
Mm-hmm. I could log out and log back in as the second company too.
Yeah, exactly.
Makes sense. Okay.
All right. Okay, so what we do here, this is just an aside. We show a couple of there is a new app section here. Normally, you know, a large organization might have tens or maybe even hundreds of these eventually. We will show a couple of the more recent ones here just to kind of grab the user's attention. And these will change every time I come out come in and out of the homepage, you'll get a different couple here.
And that list pulls from that catalog we were looking at before as the IT Pro.
Yeah, so I got the whole catalog. This isn't the best example because I think I got six apps published.
Yeah.
But the new apps tile here will show me the most recent 10 that I've published. Okay. By the way, you'll see the blogger showing up here now. That is there because I targeted that at Seattle users, and I'm a user in the Seattle users group.
Okay.
All right. So from that list of new ones, we will pick just a random two, and we'll revolve these. So you can at least see new stuff on here each time you come in.
Okay.
We do have categories. You mentioned, you remember I entered collaboration and social?
Yeah.
Okay, that's a quick way of entering that.
Especially if your organization has a lot of apps, it's a nice way to navigate a hierarchy.
Exactly. I touched briefly on you can publish links, if you will, references to either deep links, as we call them, into stores like the Windows Store. That would take you directly to the page for the Windows Store itself. Or you could even do just a generic link. This particular one here is Bing Maps with a logo and an icon here that one of our developers put together. That's probably quite obvious. When I click on that, that's
going to do nothing. Is that standard? Is that good?
Yeah. That's not the standard. No, that's not the standard. I qualify that heavily. When I click on that, we're going to see this property page here, which tells me what it is, which category it's in, when it was published by the IT Pro. And in this particular case, it's a web app. We're just going to open the browser. Very simple. Okay,
yeah.
But sometimes if the IT Pro wants to make applications available to the end user, they can use that mechanism for just generic URLs.
Yeah, that's brilliant to surface up apps that are relevant to your employees. That's great.
Yeah. Something else is interesting here. This is an executable. This is Skype. I just grabbed, version 5.3 of Skype. This is an executable. And an important point here is if we have an executable or an MSI and you've got more than one x86 device enrolled for you as a user, you can target more than one of those. I've only got one registered here, but let's say I've got a desktop and a laptop running Windows 8 Pro, let's say. Both of those will show up there, and even if I'm not on one of those machines, I can select them here and do install. So you can kind of do a remote installation for an executable or an MSI.
And then the next time I log on, it installs it, or right now my machine would suddenly flash and start installing it?
The machine, I'm struggling to remember that part, Jerry.
Victory!
Edit. but I can answer that for Windows Store applications. They're a little different in that they're always installed in the user context. Okay. So they're not just installed at the device level. They're installed in the user context. And for that reason, they're installed when the user then logs back on. That's the time at which they'll get logged on. But, of course, they're very quick. Windows Store apps are installed very quickly, hopefully I'll show right now. If I go into all apps here, we can see all the apps, very small number at this point. I can sort by these various things, and I can categorize and so on and so on. But the one I'm interested in...
filtered based on security as well. There's so many... Yeah, this is great.
Yeah, so there's all sorts of things you can do there. Windows 8 Blog Reader is the one we saw earlier on. It's published. That's why it shows up here. I click on here, and now I can see the information. You remember I typed in a description of version 1.0 here.
Yep.
I published it today, the size of it. So the end user has got just the amount of information they want to make a decision here. We don't bombard them with all sorts of information here. Now I can press install. And what we're going to do when I press install, this instruction is going to be sent back to the Windows Intune service. So that's important because all I need is a connection to the internet. Don't need to be on premises or anything like that. And then that instruction, if you will, is going to be sent back, in this case, to this local machine again. I'm pressing install now. You'll see up here we get out your way. You can get on with work. You can do what you will. Top right, it says installing Windows Blog Reader.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And that's because we uploaded the package to Azure, right?
That's right.
Our headquarters could be gone, right? Burned to the ground.
Yeah.
The zombie apocalypse would be going on right there, and we could still be downloading.
See, here's the problem with your talking, Jerry. It's done already. You can see at the top right here. If I go back to my desktop, now we can see the app down here. It's installed. Okay? So that whole process, I was being facetious, obviously, Jerry.
Because there's other problems with me talking as well.
No, there was just that one then, just then, Jerry. But hopefully your viewers noticed that we had the notifications coming up here to say that it was installed,
to the store as well, the public store.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. And that's the round trip. This actually should be gone by now. No, I think we're still waiting for the fact that's been installed to come back to the service. But in a minute, that will disappear and say it's installed, and then that would be reflected on the application details page.
Now, the public store also handles updates as well. How do updates get controlled?
In your next version, you'll need to deal with those as separate updates to your application. So if you have a subsequent edition, you will take it, upload it again as another update to the app and publish it that way. Okay. Updates are something we may look at later, but for this next release, you'll just publish a second app.
Got it. Okay. Makes sense to me.
Okay. And that's the round trip. This actually should be gone by now. No, I think we're still waiting for the fact that's been installed to come back to the service. But in a minute, that will disappear and say it's installed, and then that would be reflected on the application details page.
Now, the public store also handles updates as well. How do updates get controlled?
In your next version, you'll need to deal with those as separate updates to your application. So if you have a subsequent edition, you will take it, upload it again as another update to the app and publish it that way. Okay. Updates are something we may look at later, but for this next release, you'll just publish a second app.
Got it. Okay. Makes sense to me.
Okay. So hopefully that gives you a sense of the round trip where, you know, all these great applications that developers are developing right now, by pushing through Windows Intune, it gives you the ability to really bypass all this around managing scripts and deployment points and so on and so on. You just publish to a service. Your users have got internet connections for the most part. So all they need to do is just get the company app, company portal app that you've seen here, download it, and suddenly they've got access to these applications wherever they are.
Now, this is perfect, right? I mean, it's brilliant in so many ways. The company portal website handles Windows 8 apps as well, just out of curiosity?
No, the company portal website, which came out in the current release, which is kind of predated Windows 8, is primarily for XP, Vista, and Windows 7. And so that is really for the publication of executables and MSIs and some mobile device mobile applications. Now, you can actually go to that website from a Windows 8 device, and you would be able to get into Manage Your Devices, where I'm showing you here, and also you can get into Contact your IT department and so on. When you click on the Apps section, though, we will say, you know what, there's a better, more immersive experience for you. Go to the store, here's a link, download the app, and you'll get a full-fledged Windows 8 experience that you see.
And
here.
It's a consistent UI now. Odds are they have Windows 8 because they have a device that's touch anyway, and so now they can interact with it easier than they can nailing a link on a web page anyway.
Yeah, exactly. And of course, the look and feel of it would be identical across your Windows RT device or your Windows 8 Pro or Enterprise device. So,
nice, very nice. So I'm a developer. Yeah. I know that I'm writing an app that needs to be internal only. I get a lot of flack from my network administrator saying we have a lot of IP, we don't want to put it into a public store. Now I can say, look, we don't need to put it into the public store. We've got a solution where we can keep everything in our company assets and we don't have to expose anything publicly. This is how you do it.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly why it's there.
Beautiful. Now, just to help me out, there might be somebody listening who is a little confused because they feel like maybe System Center does the same thing. Does System Center do the same thing?
Yeah, it's a good question. So let me answer that by saying where we are today before this next release comes out. Okay. Today, you can go and buy and purchase a subscription to Windows Intune, and you'll get access to the website, and that will cover you for Vista, XP, and Windows 7. Executables and so on. In addition, obviously, System Center has been out there for years. There's the Software Center that allows System Center end users, if you will, machines managed by users that have machines managed by System Center, to go up to a catalog of applications and download those. It's very clear, as I mentioned earlier on, that customers want us to bring those things together. There's value in the cloud-based services that Windows Intune has, but there's also huge value in the fact that customers have deployed System Center today. They have a huge amount of infrastructure out there, and they've got users and IT pros that know that very well. So what we're doing in the next release is we're going to allow you to deploy mobile applications from the System Center SP1. That's important. When SP1 comes out, the SP1 administrative console, you'll be able to go in and publish mobile applications, including to Windows RT. Okay. For x86, namely Pro and Enterprise, you would use the existing Software Center to publish applications out through that channel, including Windows 8 applications. Does that make sense?
I think it does. Let me just make sure I've got this right. If I have an enterprise that's already got an investment in System Center, we're not saying change anything. We're saying go for it. What we are saying is now if you want to manage Windows RT devices that are coming into your enterprise, Intune offers this and so much more, right? That's the solution for them.
Yeah, and in fact, when we release this next version, you would be, as a System Center customer, you will be able to purchase, I'm not sure what the official term is, but let's call it an add-on that gets you the Windows Intune service. And that allows you then to manage and distribute mobile applications from your System Center administrative console, but they're pushed out to the Windows Intune service. And then your mobile devices, which typically are not connected to the corporate environment, can just go to the cloud and download those applications from Windows Intune as a service.
Yeah, and why are we making this distinction with Windows RT is because those are the devices we assume are outside of our network. Those are the ones that we want to have cloud-based connection to our apps and everything else that we want and our ability to manage them.
Yeah, it's going to be very common that they're personally owned devices rather than corporate devices. That's not going to be unusual at all. And in particular, then they're not domain joined. So they're being used at home, they're out on the road, whatever it might be. They rarely connect to the corporate environment. They're not domain joined, as I mentioned. So this is a perfect scenario where connecting to a cloud-based service just makes so much sense.
Yeah, and I think that not domain joined catches a lot of people off guard, and they think not domain joined means not manageable. But Intune on Windows RT devices, that's the reason it exists in the first place, not just to deliver apps, which obviously we can do, but also to manage them from soup to nuts.
Yeah, I'm going to qualify one thing there, I'm being, again, mildly facetious here. It's not the reason Windows Intune exists in the first place. It is certainly a very, very key focus for us in the next release.
Yeah, sorry, I really reduced you.
I knew
your purpose in life to just a small little dot. I'm sorry. Pigeonholes are tiny, aren't they?
Sometimes.
Now, if I'm a developer, is there anything I can do in my app to help this process? Or let me just ask it backwards. Is there anything I can do in my app to make it so it wouldn't work? Like you couldn't deliver it through this mechanism?
So maybe one way to answer that is to think about the requirements you need. And I'm thinking in particular of the certificates and the sideloading keys you need to be enabled. So as a developer, you just develop your app. You would sign it with an enterprise certificate. At that point, the APEX is ready to roll and push out through Windows Intune and upload to Windows Intune. You then got to make sure, and this isn't particularly difficult, but you need to make sure that your devices are ready to install outside of the Windows Store, namely to sideload.
Yeah.
And for that, there's a registry key you can turn on, and that's available through group policy. And by the way, let me do this in two phases. For x86, namely Pro and Enterprise, you would enable sideloading through a registry key and or group policy. And then you need to make sure that the sideloading is supported. If you're on an Enterprise, Windows 8 Enterprise, the mere concept of joining a domain means that sideloading is enabled, okay,
yeah,
once you've turned on the policy. With Windows 8 Pro, you would need to purchase or have access to sideloading keys and then make sure those are installed and available on the target Windows 8 Pro devices. With Windows RT, it's substantially easier. I showed you earlier on in the administrative console where you can, as an IT Pro, you can publish your set of sideloaded keys. And as an aside, I didn't go through this, but when you register a Windows RT device with a management service, there's something that's built into Windows RT called the Company Apps utility. When you go to there, you will enter details about the management service you want to register with. And at that point, we'll download a root certificate for your enterprise, and we will also download sideloading keys if they've been made available. At that point, your Windows RT device, merely by the act of registering with the management service, is now completely ready to sideload.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Now, I can't help but think there's somebody watching that is thinking, I've heard all three of the versions you've mentioned, but I know that there are four versions to Windows 8. Right? I know that there's Windows RT, I know that there's Enterprise, I know that there's Pro, but there's Windows 8, right? Kind of a Windows 8 core. What's the story with Windows 8?
Everything I've just mentioned relates to the areas we support are Windows 8 Pro, Enterprise, and RT.
That's okay.
The extent of what we're supporting here.
Got it. Windows 8 is not that's a different beast altogether. It's really a consumer version of the operating system. Got it. Makes sense to me. And it's pretty cool, too, that meanwhile, while we're managing our Windows RT device, we're also managing our iOS devices we may have. We're also managing our Android devices we may have. We have the option to manage every desktop with Intune or leverage any of the System Center stuff that we may have already invested in as well. And they all are friends with each other, right?
They're all friends.
They're all friends, right? There's not a competing piece here, right? As time passes, friendship just grows.
Can't disagree with you, Jerry.
Okay. Now, this is optional software. It crosses my mind that some systems I want to push software out. Is the portal only for the opt-in software?
No. For Windows RT, very much a consumerization kind of play for us. That would always be software that's made available, opt-in, if you will. To the owner of the device. So for Windows RT, it's very straightforward. It's the scenario I've showed you today, and it's all about the ability for the user to make their own choices. In terms of pushing it from an IT Pro, in fact, let me just switch back to the administrative console here. There is a mechanism in here. If I upload software here and I choose an executable, an MSI or an executable, I can target a group of computers, not users, computers, on which that software will be installed, period. It's mandatory installation by the IT Pro. And that was something we delivered in the second release and, you know, was certainly a big requirement from IT Pros or from the enterprise in particular. And now we've extended it for the optional installation that I showed you in this demo.
Nice. Okay, I get that. I get that a lot. Now, a developer is watching. And he's like, okay, I have to go back and somehow introduce this to my network administrator. Help him have the 30-second elevator pitch for what's going on.
Okay. The first thing I'll do, which is a little bit predictable, I guess, is I'd refer that developer or IT Pro to the WindowsIntune.com website because that does a really good job, a better job than I'm going to do of explaining the benefits. I've got them on the screen here in the background if anybody's interested in seeing that, but that will really set the stage for what Windows Intune is about. Certainly, I think there's a couple of key areas that I think we're very strong in. One is if you have devices that are rarely connected to the corporate network and they may be not domain joined, it's very cool that you can just install a very small agent, have them connect to the internet, and you can manage that way. That was really the first focus for us when we released Windows Intune. Now, of course, this whole wave of interest around consumerization and bring your own device is where we're focused, is a lot of where we're focused right now. And the idea that by enrolling and, in fact, allowing the user to enroll their device, that's going to give them access to line of business apps and, indeed, references to apps on stores such as, iOS and Google Play and the Windows Phone 8 store as well, and Windows Store itself. Those things are all available as things that would entice the end user to understand what scope of applications are available to them and make their own choices. And that's really what this whole consumerization thing is about, is allowing the end user to make their own choices. And that's really our focus right now.
Brilliant. Now, in Intune, let's say there's a developer enthusiast out there, and he's thinking, well, you know, I'm a mom-and-pop shop. I can use Intune for my shop as well. It's not just for large enterprises. Absolutely, right? I mean, absolutely.
Yeah, you know, and that reminds me of one thing that I'm sure is in here and all this and this website here, but is a really, really compelling value to Windows Intune, at least in my opinion, and that is, in the old world, if you were interested in keeping your machines up to date, making sure they were free of viruses, so they got the latest signatures on there, getting inventory of hardware and software, and so on and so on, what you used to do is, the only option you used to have, I should say, is you used to install hardware in your environment, make sure it was connected to the internet, deal with security, capacity planning, disaster planning, and all the things that go around that, make sure all your computers have access to that corporate network, make sure they can tunnel through maybe. It gets really quite complex to keep that stuff, not just
especially
to install it.
Especially for smaller businesses.
Especially. And not just to get it installed, but keep it up to date, keep it secure, and all the other things. With this, if you're interested in this as a solution for your small business, you would go up to um, go up go up to the Microsoft site, you can sign up for Windows Intune, and very quickly you have access to, in fact we do a 30-day trial as well, very quickly you can access the administrative console I showed you, and from there you can download the enrollment package, install it on a few PCs, make sure it works for you. You haven't installed a single server at that point. You haven't installed any software, server software. You haven't made sure it's got the latest signatures. You haven't had to deal with that at all. We manage that for you, and then we give you a simple administrative console that allows you to manage your machines. And you can be up and running.
You don't have to worry about capacity planning and bandwidth and blah, blah. All this stuff is handled all by all the servers that Intune has here. Let me ask you one other thing. Now, I'm sorry to ask you this. This just shows what I don't know. Intune, is it part of Office 365 offering? Is it a
no?
A
no, it's not. When you go out and enroll or subscribe, you'll see a certain overlap in the sense that the process for provisioning you is very closely related. So a lot of the credentials you might use to subscribe to Office 365, you're going to find that those are going to be relevant to get onto the provisioning site and subscribe to Windows Intune. So in that regard, there's overlap. But beyond that, we don't yet have close integration between the service and the end user services. But that's something, again, that we've heard a fair amount of feedback from customers on, and we're certainly looking at that.
Yeah, maybe someday, right.
Someday.
Mark, thank you so much for being on. I can't tell you how many developers come to me and ask me, what's the enterprise story? How do we even deploy these apps without having our IP out? And I mean, all this stuff, and really, this is all new to everybody, and so these questions are genuine, and here we are. Here's the solution. If you're looking for it, Intune has it right here. Sure, there are different ways to deploy apps, but one that's seamless, secure, and easily scales and handles all these different scenarios, here it is in Intune. Mark, appreciate you being on the show.
Thank you. Really enjoyed it, Jerry. Thanks again.
Yeah, it was great, and thank you for watching.